this is Causing Friction. This is the podcast where we get a little uncomfortable, a little awkward on our journey of healing through mindfulness and
welcome back to the podcast, everyone. 2021 is coming to an end. And I almost feel slightly confused by this. I know that I've heard so many people tell me, as you get older, time's going to move quickly. Cherish those moments. But I can't help but feel that this year was a bit of a blur. I'm trying to look back and have a recollection of what even happened this year. And I'm really trying to think of specific moments for the podcast so I could sum them up and pinpoint memories. But it's been really hard for me to actually put them into chronological order of what happened each month or each season. And I also kind of feel like there weren't any super major significant moments this year for me. It was more that this year was just an entire year of self-actualization. It was the year for learning about myself and learning about the world and my perspective of it, learning why people are the way that they are and how that affects me. For me personally, this year was full of so many ups and downs, but I feel like we almost say that every year. And what I'm just going to say about this year specifically is that it truly was a year of self-discovery and lots of growth. And I talked about this more specifically in the one-year celebration of the podcast episode, so go back and listen to that one if you want to hear more specific about the personal growth journey and kind of what it is that I really learned in this past year. But what I want to wrap up about 2021 and what I want to stick to discussing for this episode is how I truly learned to stay productive and find what productivity looks like for me as an individual. I know that a common theme I've heard is people want to get back on track. They want to get back on the wagon. They just want to be more productive. They always have a massive to-do list that's a million miles long and can never seem to catch a break. And I find that even more so here in Toronto, the hustle culture, it's real. And this year I felt that. I really felt a lot of pressure. And I don't know where that pressure specifically comes from. I think it's partially because we were disconnected from each other this year, and it really made me feel more pressure in the sense of scrolling on social media and comparing myself to other people and what they were doing, but I didn't have the ability to do so because either there were severe restrictions or North America was just living life differently, but I couldn't still help but compare myself in those moments. And it also was the bit of me against me this year. I felt like I put a lot of pressure on myself because I tend to run in this constant state of feeling like I'm running out of time. And that is something I'm really trying to work on. But it really comes around framing my mindset. What it's currently at is that I feel like I kind of need to reach certain milestones by a certain age or within a certain time frame. And a big lesson for me this year is that I actually have a whole life ahead of me. I'm a very goal-oriented person. I'm very hungry to achieve goals, and I get tunnel vision. And I feel like a lot of millennials share the same sentiment, especially, you know, losing 2 years of our life with COVID. When we are in such a crucial period or at a crucial age, you know, millennials, we're 25 to 40. And I mean, biologically as a female, those are technically supposed to be the best years of my life. Those are the years I'm the most fertile. Those are apparently when my body's going to be the best. And all of these things add up. And whether I want kids or not, I feel the pressure of getting older. And it's almost as if we're hardwired to dread getting older. And when your mindset is constantly, I'm running out of time, everything you do is affected by that. You're constantly looking ahead. You're not enjoying the present moment, and you're missing all of those small little memories, and you're taking them for granted. And you'll be constantly hustling with no end in sight, and you're never going to be fully satisfied because you'll always want more and more. And this is something that I really wanted to work on in 2021, and I'm going to continue to work on in 2022. And I want to be intentional about the fact that I have a whole life ahead of me. And to be honest, I don't have this all figured out yet. This year was difficult on the me against me part because I was still very hard on myself. When I wouldn't check off those boxes and I wouldn't stay on top of all of my to-dos, which meant, you know, working that 9 to 5, trying to excel in my career, you know, trying to book podcast interviews, recording, editing, trying to be present on social media and play that whole game. And it also meant that I needed to be a human and take care of my space and do those adult things like cleaning and laundry. And I really got overwhelmed and I kind of felt like things were never ending. And I wanted to have this hobby because this hobby made me feel fulfilled. I wanted to excel in my career and reach those goals and make good money. It just became a little overwhelming, and I constantly was striving for more and felt like no matter what I was doing, I wasn't doing enough. And my to-do list every day just felt so long that I was tired. And what fell to the bottom? Well, of course, taking care of myself. It was straight at the bottom of my list, and I fully admit that there were moments I was neglecting myself. And that kind of sometimes made me feel like the podcast was fake. Like, I would tell people how to be mindful, how to live with more intention and take care of themselves. Yet, here I was, even sometimes struggling with that too. And what this also meant for me was I wasn't getting in enough movement while working from home. It meant I wasn't meditating. It meant that I wasn't slowing down and focusing on being present and valuing my time here. It was a lot of go, 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 and I never truly felt satisfied. I shouldn't say never, because I do look back very fondly at multiple days and multiple weeks. I just felt on top of the world because I was accomplishing so much. But there were moments where I didn't feel like I had done enough. Even though I had done all those 10 things on my to-do list, I was still looking at tomorrow like, ugh, maybe I should get ahead. Maybe there's more I can do. Now, let's talk about some major wins this year, because I don't just want to talk about the things I didn't do. I definitely learned a few hacks that really assisted in my productivity. And for someone who suffers from high functioning depression, I really needed to find what worked for me specifically, because I found that I just didn't operate the same as maybe everyone else. What I needed to do was really put into perspective what my time truly meant to me. And I needed to learn the importance and the value of giving myself dedicated me time that isn't just task or goal oriented. So as this year is coming to a close, I did start to feel the burnout. I'm sure everyone is with me on that one. But my burnout came for a few different reasons. I transitioned to a new job a couple months into the year, where the probationary period, which I talked about on another podcast, the probationary period, it caused me a lot of performance anxiety. And after the 3 months, you would think after the probation period, that would go away. But unfortunately, in my circumstance, it didn't. It didn't die down after 3 months. And it took probably double that to start to truly feel safe and secure. And like, maybe even if this didn't work out, I would be okay. And I know that's something a lot of people struggle with when we put all of our worth into a job and we get hyper-focused on that specifically, and all of our value is in that specific position. We just kind of neglect our personal growth outside of career and we forget who we are as humans. And I'm not going to say that being goal-driven is bad and having that hyper-focus sometimes can be beneficial, but I am someone who genuinely enjoys working towards a goal and having something to work towards. It can be extremely helpful and it can be a motivator. And I find that for people like me, anyone who suffers from a mood disorder, having that goal and being goal-driven sometimes is the only reason you will put in an effort and really push towards that goal. You almost need to have that vision in front of you. And what I want to talk about is, why does that even work? Why does having goals, working towards something specific, make us feel joy and give us that sense of fulfillment? And the reason is, whenever we recognize a task or a project and it's been completed, our brain releases dopamine. Now, I'm going to note that people with ADHD, your release of dopamine isn't the same. Your brain doesn't actually recognize tasks or completing projects at the same level of satisfaction. So again, this goes back to that question, what does productivity mean? What does productivity look like to you? Because it's going to look different person to person. And what we need to do is define what being productive means to you. And I know that most people will be like, well, it's getting the most out of my day, getting the most done in a day possible. But doesn't that sound like hustle culture? And if 2021 taught me anything, hopefully it taught you that hustle culture is not fulfilling when it actually comes to you as a human, your soul, and where you are in life. And I also hope that 2021 taught us all that burnout is real and that productivity is not defined by numbers or tasks, or it's all about finding balance. And it's the balance between being proud of yourself for accomplishing those daily to-dos, but also the other side is being happy and at peace. And I think being honest with yourself and assessing the areas in your life you genuinely want to improve upon, you want to set goals, you want to be more productive, that is great. We love self-awareness. That is what we preach here. But it's also important to take that moment to ensure that you're doing all of it for the right reasons. You want to get better at sticking to your cleaning schedule because you're having a hard time keeping your space clean, even though it brings you clarity and a sense of calm. Or if you want to ensure that you are more productive on a daily basis, just to avoid working at crunch time when it comes to any kind of deadlines you need to meet. Or maybe you're someone who struggles to make deadlines and you always kind of feel rushed, or you procrastinate and you just can't keep up with projects. What we're going to talk about is the most important trick that I learned this year for keeping me productive, and that is the power of time. So this trick specifically worked on days when I was in a great mood, and therefore I was super productive. But when I found it worked the most and kept me the most in check was on the days I was depressed, and I really needed to find some sort of willpower to get anything done around the house. This was a trick that I could rely on no matter my emotional state, and as someone who suffers from depression, it really did change my mindset. So the trick is, next time you are trying to set yourself up to be productive, set a timer and get ready to focus on the very specific task at hand you just don't want to do. And you know, it's those tasks that you always seem to avoid because they just don't bring you any joy, they're mundane, annoying, or maybe it's something that you struggle to do on those really low days. For me, specifically, dishes. So what we need to do is put back into perspective time. How long do these tasks that we do not enjoy, that are the necessary evil, actually take? So the next time you need to get shit done, start with the task you don't like. Set the timer and do not do anything else. Do not pick up your phone, scroll on Instagram, any social media apps. Set it away, put on your timer, and focus on the task at hand. And just focus on getting it done. Once you are done, stop the timer and actually pause at how many minutes it actually took to complete that one specific task. So what I'm going to note is, if your task is something large, let's say laundry, don't time the entire duration. So time how long it takes for you to do each step. So time how long it takes for you to collect the clothes. How long did that take? Your next step is putting them actually into the wash. How long is that taking? So separating into task one, if you can collect the clothes, put them into the wash, and hit start, all within, 7 minutes? How many times have you put off doing that when it only takes 7 minutes out of 1,440, which is an entire day? Doesn't that give you a sense of relief? It puts back into perspective the value of your time. Something that's only going to take you 7 out of 1,440 is nothing. And it also makes the task less intimidating. Your perspective changes from, ugh, I don't want to do this, to, you know what? This is only going to take me 7 minutes. And that mindset switch is the real goal that we're working towards that's going to keep you on top of all of those little mundane tasks on a regular basis that will end up making you feel way more productive. So another perspective that you need to look at is separating tasks out in your day. So, okay, the wash is started, it's good to go, but now it needs to be flipped over to the dryer or on a hanging rack. Those are two separate tasks. And this is another way we can change your mindset and shift the perspective in order to be more productive, is getting extremely specific and separating out the tasks at hand. And the reason that I learned to do this and I found the most useful tool to assist with this was the productivity journal that I use. A to-do list style of journal that uses the Pomodoro technique along with getting extremely specific with the task at hand. So we tend to group a lot of to-dos and we really label it as one thing. And we forget the importance of all of the little steps that equal this one umbrella. Again, laundry is a perfect example. I probably could think of five other ones, but laundry is just all that's coming to mind to me right now. So doing laundry, you know you need to collect the clothing. You know you need to separate it, add it to the wash. Once that's done, change it over, put it in the dryer, fold it, hang it, whatever. That's a lot of tasks. And that's why a lot of people dread doing it. It feels like a lot at once. But what we need to do is separate each task so our brain finds it less intimidating. Yes, maybe all of these tasks add up to maybe 2-3 hours, but focusing on the single task at hand, collecting the clothing, putting it into the wash, it took 7 minutes. Switching the clothing over from wash to dryer, hanging the items that don't need to go into the dryer, then pressing the start button. What did that take? 4 minutes? Do you see where I'm going with this? And it's also really important when we're taking note of completing these tasks that you're not dividing your attention. If you aren't focused at the task at hand, we all know if you get carried away scrolling on your phone, the task at hand is going to take you double or triple how long it would normally take. So what the Pomodoro technique does, if you're not familiar with it, is it gets you to make a list of all of the important to-dos for the week. And then you list them in order of most important to least important each day. And what it asks you each individual day is to only take on 5 max. So the beginning of the week, you plan your week, you list all of the tasks for the week. Then each day you rewrite your list of most important to least important 5 max, and you list them. The way that you list them is extremely important because it puts into perspective if you can only accomplish one to-do today, what is the most important task that would give you a sense of accomplishment should you not complete anything else for the rest of the day? This journal also explains how you should work in 25-minute intervals on 5-minute breaks in between. So you rate your tasks by those intervals. And once you've started getting into the habit of learning how long those tasks take, then you get a better understanding of how to rate the tasks with the Pomodoro technique. So I'll give an example because I know this sounds a little bit confusing. However, for me, doing one wash of dishes could take anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes, depending on the quantity. So that's rated at 1 because it's one interval of 25 minutes. Had the task been deemed it's going to take me 45 minutes, that is being rated at 2 because it's taking 2 intervals, 25 minutes, a 5-minute break, and then another interval to fully complete the task. Now, what's important to note is that 5-minute break. It's important to give yourself the 5-minute break in between the 25-minute intervals of straight focus because it feels rewarding. It gives you a second to get up, to stretch, to ideally not break full focus. So they don't recommend going on your phone and doing anything like that. They really try to recommend to use that time for going to the washroom, getting any kind of water. And I know it sounds weird. The breaks, the timer, it almost sounds like you're doing less and resulting in getting more done. But trust me, there is a reason that if you look up any kind of productivity hack, this is going to come up. And all it's really doing is trying to get you to focus on the one specific task at hand. And what the timer does is, if you do not focus on the task at hand in your interval, they ask you to restart the timer and start again. So what it's really trying to do is create better habits of a 25-minute focus on, take a break, break your focus a little, and then get back to it. It's really retraining your brain, especially in a world where we live with such instant gratification and we are very fidgety and we need to be scrolling 24/7. This is a really great way to rewire your brain and break out of that new generational cycle that we're in. If you're interested in looking into this further, I believe that there's a Pomodoro timer as an app, or you can purchase the productivity journal, or you can just use the timer on your phone. That's effective. But what it is writing down the tasks. It's visualizing it. It's having something tangible to check off. So for me, the journal really works the best. And what these hacks and techniques are doing is it's reshaping the way you value your time. And it's forcing you to get extremely specific with the task at hand. You listing them out and putting them into order of what is the most important and least important in your day, in your week. And it's really training your brain to focus without distractions. So for 2022, another productivity lesson that you can learn from me that I learned myself this year was, the longer that you ignore something that needs to be done, the harder it's going to be to accomplish. We are such strange humans when it comes to procrastination. When we know we need to do something, instead of taking immediate action, we procrastinate. And then all of a sudden, that duration between knowing what we need to do and actually doing is daunting. And that duration, the longer you let it go, the harder the task will seem to complete. And this all comes back around to shame. We start to feel shameful of our procrastination. We almost start to feel embarrassed the longer the time goes on that we don't complete a task. Ignoring it is so much easier than facing our shame at that point. And all I want to say is, for 2022, let it go. So what? You let the dishes pile up. And you know what? You feel ashamed because your space feels dirty, or it makes you feel like you're just not an adult in control of your space. Let it go. Set the timer. See how long it takes you to complete that task and weigh out the options. Do you want to let this pile up again, procrastinate, and turn to feeling shameful for not taking action sooner? Now that you're aware of the exact number of minutes these tasks are going to take, shame seems to be very closely tied to productivity for a lot of people. I find more so those who suffer from high functioning anxiety and depression or any kind of mood disorder, because we just know if you're someone who is high functioning, you feel like you constantly need to be go, 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 improve, that you're not sad and that you're fine and that everyone just thinks you're fine because you act fine. So you got to keep up that facade. And then people who are depressed, you're already embarrassed that you can't tackle tasks the same way everyone else does. It takes a lot more effort, or it takes a lot more time. A lot of shame around being productive. You know, it's kind of this thought of, oh yeah, I've been meaning to get around to that, but all of a sudden it's been weeks and we've ignored something, and we become so ashamed that it's easier to ignore instead of face head on. So for 2022, my biggest tip is for you to put back into perspective, what does your time mean to you? How long do tasks actually take you? Putting that into perspective is going to change your mindset around productivity. I guarantee it. So for 2022, ask yourself, what does productivity mean to me? How do I balance accomplishing tasks and bringing myself peace and calmness? How can I tackle those mundane, unenjoyable tasks? How can I put back into perspective how long they actually take out of my day so that they're less intimidating next time? So those are my productivity hacks from 2021. Take them into 2022. Let me know how they go. Thank you so much, and I will see you in the new year.